Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Erica Drum is our regular foodie and she is back, this time following on from the advice of Dr. Mary McCreary. She's going to be telling us how to bring gut health knowledge into our kitchen and onto our plates. Well, Erica, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much, Claire, for having me.
And this is quite a good topic for you because you're just on the back end of some antibiotics. So you'll be looking to try and replenish that gut health.
Yeah, and actually when I was purchasing my antibiotics in the pharmacy, the pharmacist said it to me. Don't forget now your probiotics when you're getting better, which I thought was great. It's never been said to me before. It is really important. So you can obviously take your supplements, which I will do as well, to be honest. But true food is really important as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I obviously antibiotics are a really good thing. We wouldn't be able to clear the infection without it. But I think some people, as they might have heard from Dr. Mary before the break there, it literally clears out the good and the bad. You get a really good clear out. So you want to start feeding that microbiome again. And I think there are certain things like fermented foods that people are a little bit afraid of, be it kraut, be it kefir. You know, they might down a bottle because they know it's good for them. But you're going to tell us how we can incorporate these things into our meals a little more.
Yeah, and I think we are a little bit scared of them all, you know, things fizz or burp or whatever it is, you know, when you open that sauerkraut or the kimchi, or they might be a bit strong in flavour that we were not used to. But in fact, you know, hundreds of years ago, we did make our own sauerkraut here in Ireland. It was totally normal to age our cabbage. Anyway, for example, sauerkraut, I love to make a boxty, so a type of kind of potato pancake with sauerkraut going through it. So if you think about anything that you might have cabbage in anyway, or a soup that you might be making, just even a winter vegetable soup, popping a few tablespoons of the sauerkraut in there, and if it's going to be blended or even if it's not, you could chop it up, will help boost the fermented foods in your diet, the probiotics in your diet. So they don't you don't have to be sitting there eating it on a spoon, although I would because I love it, but it can go into foods that you're already eating, you know.
And do you make your own kraut from time to time, or your own kombucha or kefir?
Yeah.
Have you gone down that road?
I do, actually. All these things I did pre-Stella. And I thought it was,
then you made
I
a human.
It was amazing. Then I made a human. I went, oh my God, give me everything from the shop. No, I did. And to be honest, they're quite straightforward. Certainly a sauerkraut. Actually, anything we're kind of fermenting like that, you weigh the amount of vegetable or the amount of the product, whatever you're using, and then 2% of that weight in salt. You salt it and you massage it and you try and get as much liquid from the, like, it takes a while, you know, you're actually proper massaging the shredded cabbage with the salt on it, and this will give you a liquid. You put it into a jar and you have to make sure it's anaerobic so it goes underneath the liquid. So you have to push down the cabbage, but that's it. And you put a lid on it. You can burp it every few days, which means to open it up and let some oxygen in. And then keep it in the fridge when it gets to your level of funk that you like. But yeah, there's a whole, you know, going down the route of teaching people how to ferment foods is different to what I want to talk to you about today.
Yeah, and you know what? We do have some incredible Irish suppliers. Yeah. Like, we're very lucky. There are lots of amazing Irish producers of kombucha, of kefir, yeah, of kraut, and it's easy to pick up. Just watch that they're live products and that you're picking them up from the fridge. But then once you get them home, what do you do with them? Tell us a bit about a boxty then.
Okay, well, the boxty is fairly straightforward. I grate a potato and squeeze it out any excess liquid. That's just to help it not be too watery. And then I'll chop up sauerkraut with that potato, maybe some scallions, some herbs, whatever, even if there's leftover veg in the house. And then a little bit of flour and egg. Mix that together and then I'll make a flat kind of pancake style in my pan, in the frying pan. And these can be pre-cooked and put into the freezer and reheated. Or even you can make them into kind of smaller little burger shapes, I suppose, rather than a flat pancake. And then to double up on the fermented foods, I'll blend kimchi pieces, like the chunkier part rather than the liquid bit, with mayonnaise. And it's so, so good. Honestly, you make a batch of that and just keep it in your fridge, and that you'll have everything with it because it's so delicious.
That's something I have found from fermented foods. You kind of have to train your taste buds into accepting them because it's a different taste.
Yeah.
It's quite a sharp, almost vinegary kind of taste from them.
Totally.
But then you start to crave it.
Yeah.
You start to miss that at the side of your plate.
Yeah. When we feed our bodies with the stuff that we want or need, and they like it, our gut likes it, it actually sends us signals to want more of it. And the same happens with sugar, of course, but if it starts noticing, so that it's not just your taste buds that are craving it, it's also your body. So it's great. Like, it's, that's what's happening. Yeah, it's sour, it's funky, it's salty, it's umami, it's brilliant. I have to say, I've trained myself now to eat it straight out of the jar. One of my favourite snacks in the world is oat cakes with peanut butter and kimchi. So,
oh,
you can
my
try
God,
it.
Are you pregnant? I mean, I don't want to ask this live on air, but what on earth? Well, and don't knock until you've tried it.
Yes, exactly.
Something else you have on your list is miso. And I adore miso. I sometimes just stick carrots in it the way you would hummus and
eat
it.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah,
certainly
so
quite
I could
salty.
Be pregnant too. It's a miracle.
So let's just tell our listeners. So miso is a fermented soybean paste from Japan. A lot of us might get it, might be familiar with it in the past before it's gotten kind of quite popular now with our sushi order or with the, you know, dumplings or whatever as the soup that comes at the start. And essentially that soup is this miso paste with water with some scallions on top, some tofu or in it and some tofu and seaweed gone through it. But so this fermented paste of soybeans, and it actually has a little bit of rice in it to get the fermentation going, is really good for our gut. But it's also super umami. It's salty. There's different levels. There's different strengths depending on what rice they use as well. So you can get a white one, a lighter coloured one, or a dark, dark red one. I don't know about the way you eat it. I don't think I could eat it so straight because it is quite strong. Like, as in, it's strong in salt. It's not massively, it's not like funky like
yeah. It's an acquired taste. It is an acquired taste, but it's delicious. And I do love that soup as well.
Yeah.
Like, it is that lovely when you're having maybe a bowl of ramen or something, that broth.
Yeah.
And people will recognize it and know it's tasty. Can you explain to people what umami is?
So umami,
for those who might not know.
Yeah, of course. So umami is another taste level that we can't really pinpoint what exactly it is. Like, when you fly at altitude, you lose most of your taste buds, but umami stays the strongest. That's why you might get really, you might want more salt on your food and stuff. So things like Parmesan cheese has it, anchovy paste has it, and miso has it. So it's an undefinable taste, I suppose, which is really earthy, really salty, and really savoury.
Okay, yum. Yeah. Really delicious.
Yeah, MSG has it, to be honest, but that's man-made.
So your suggestion of how to use miso is in pasta. You have a miso mushroom pasta. Tell us about that one.
Actually, my suggestion of using miso is to get used to it. Use it in as many things as you can because the flavour enhances so much. So Dave and I would go through a packet of miso, 500 gram tub of miso a week. That's how much we love it and use it. This recipe I created called miso mushroom pasta, it's unusual because I'm mixing Japan. I've got tahini in there, so that's Middle East, and then pasta from Italy. But that's okay. You know, it's absolutely delicious. And so many people have made this recipe and said, oh my gosh, that's so good, because they didn't think they could put these things together. I'll post that recipe particularly because it is really yummy, especially if you love mushrooms. But yeah, miso, remembering it's in your fridge and utilizing the flavour and the depth of flavour it has in your traditional spaghetti bolognese that you make every week, or your shepherd's pie, maybe a swap out from a chicken bouillon tablet that you use. Use a tablespoon of miso. Again, soups, it's so good. There's a lot of chefs making like blondies and chocolate brownies and putting miso in for that, like, you know, the kind of salted caramel vibes. They're going for that salted level as well. So yeah, thinking about your miso going in different things. People make a restaurant, Mr. S on Angel Street, they do miso butter roast potatoes, and they're
yum.
So good. So they make the roasties really crispy. I've done them at home, and they add butter and miso and toss them in it, and it's just sensational.
And I think it's interesting that you mention bolognese, because it's not just fermented foods that feed our gut. It's 30 diverse plants a week, and that can sound daunting, but it's just trying to get as much colour, as much fruit and fibre, as much fruit and veg, I should say, to get fibre onto your plate, because that's what your gut loves. So if you have your bolognese, you know, adding carrots, adding celery, adding onions, adding lentils, adding miso, now you're making it a lot more diverse than if you just did the tomato sauce and the mince and threw that over your pasta. So you're constantly looking at what to add in. And you've also suggested a dal, which is another great way, you know, soups you've also touched on, throwing in as much as we can, because the more diversity we give our gut, the more it thrives.
It is slightly an issue with me as a chef that people might say, oh God, you know, they say it quite a lot about Yata Mata Lengi's recipes. There's so many ingredients. It's actually really good for us to have all these ingredients. I mentioned the dal because the base of the dal is the lentils, the veggies, you know, the spices, the turmeric, the anti-inflammatories.
And our gut loves herbs and spices, our plants as well.
So much. And exactly, you'll easily hit your 30 even making dal. But the topping of it, so you can make a tarka dal, which is seeds. Like, think, it doesn't have to be, you know, the typical sunflower seeds. It could be mustard seeds, you know, coriander seeds, cumin seeds. They're spices, but they're seeds. So adding those to a butter that goes on top of your dal is really good for you, because you're kind of getting all more plants. I like to do actually sometimes a batch of seeds. So I'll get, it's some of the supermarkets sell with the mixed ones where there's four or five different varieties, and I'll just toast them on a dry pan and add some soy sauce and keep them in a jar, and they'll go on top of my eggs, on top of my soups, on top of my salads. So that helps add it up. And when we spoke there about pasta and spaghetti bolognese and whatever else, try and use whole wheat pasta, especially for me at the moment coming out of being on antibiotics. You want those high fibre, you want gut friendly stuff, and that's what whole foods are, you know, rather than refined foods like white everything.
Yeah, because I think it can be overwhelming to begin with, but after a while it becomes just the way you live, and it kind of becomes, dare I say it, kind of exciting, or a bit like a game. You're like, what else can I throw on my plate? What else have I got? And the more things you have to reach for, the easier it can go. I mean, one of your other recipes is to make fluffy pancakes. And I mean, if you're going to throw your, you know, your live yogurt on the top of that, a few of your seeds, maybe a compote of some frozen berries, then when you think about that, there's plant diversity on that plate.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I put in the pancakes because we were using yogurt, so that's your fermented food, but then also prebiotic foods like onions, garlics, leeks. That's why you'll see a leek dish there. But it's the bananas and oats, they're prebiotic foods. So even in the morning, you could nearly have 10 of your plants met, and you're getting fermented foods with your yogurt, prebiotic foods, and then your seeds as well with your high fibre. If you sprinkle a few on top, sliced banana. They say as well, a little greener the banana, the better when you're trying to build back up your gut health.
Interesting, because I always avoid them then, and when I see them in the supermarket.
A little lower in sugar content as well.
Okay, very interesting. So where can people find you in some of these recipes?
So Erica Drum IE on Instagram at the moment, and we are going to have our website live next month.
Ooh,
that's very exciting.
2025, the year of Erica Drum. Thank you so much for coming on as ever.
Thanks, Claire.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.